Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the stories straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. In no words, it's how life goes, baby. In a Mississippi Minute. That's right.
Hey, folks, time for another In a Mississippi Minute. I'm Steve Azar. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. As always, team at Super Talk. Really appreciate them. Love them like family. They are family. Reminding you that my pals, speaking of family, is Superior Catfish. Check them out. Go to superiorcatfish.com. There's catfish and there's Superior Catfish. Why would you get it from anywhere else if it's not made in the great state of Mississippi? Come on. And of course, so many wonderful things to celebrate in our state. I'm a big advocate of visitmississippi.org. Check it out. Plan a road trip. All right. Shout out to Valerie for setting up today's interview. I always give my shout outs. Otherwise, you know, I've run out of friends, I think. So I need friends who know friends who know friends to keep this show alive. And I really appreciate you, Valerie. Today's guest has made a vast difference in the lives of hundreds of individuals through a nonprofit, Flower Growers of Mississippi, Urban Forest Council, and the various job training, economic development, revitalization, and preservation programs that each support around our state. She is a kind, focused, dedicated, and creative professional who has spent over 35 years making a difference for many Mississippi communities and does this through her love of horticulture, her vast knowledge of how respecting nature positively impacts our lives economically, socially, and spiritually. She found and runs two important nonprofits, both the Mississippi Urban Forest Council, again, and Flowers Growers of Mississippi. I'm repeating myself, but it's important. Provide vital training for growth and conservation and offer numerous fun public events, including entertainment such as a music event called Relief and Rhythms. I get it. Let's welcome in and find out what makes this lady get up in the morning and just want to do good. With Donna Yowell. Hey, Donna, is it Yowell or Yowell?
Yowell. You got that right, Steve.
Look at
Thank
that.
You.
Look at that. I got to make sure because I'm called Azar, Azar, Azair. I've been called it all.
Oh, I understand. Same here. But thank you so much for having us on the show to talk about the programs.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. I'm looking behind you, and I feel like that I'm about to learn a lot. Just the posters on the wall back there and it looks like that it's almost like you walk in and remind yourself of your love of what you do. What is behind there right now?
Steve, that is our Flower Growers of Mississippi display. I attend a lot of events to educate people about the potential for Mississippi to grow cut flowers and to be the leader in the entire country in developing cut flower farms and pretty much leading that market. A lot of people do not realize that 86% of our cut flowers, and when I say cut flowers, I mean like florist flowers, are imported from other countries. We can grow 90% of that in Mississippi and in the U.S. So we're giving our jobs away, and this program is about bringing those jobs back to Mississippi and training people on how to grow this very profitable crop.
Okay, wait a minute. You're telling me 80% of the flowers that we purchase on Valentine's Day and all these wonderful occasions are coming in from out of the country?
Yes, 86% actually. And that has been going on for a long time. I majored in horticulture and I also owned a flower shop. And the system is from grower to wholesaler, to florist, to end user. So if we can grow those cut flowers here in America, and by the way, USDA has listed it as the highest profit crop that we can grow in Mississippi. And as you know, we have the climates and the soils, and we can grow most of the 12 months out of the year. So there's really no reason that Mississippi can't take the lead in that and get those jobs back and create more jobs, especially, Steve, for communities that do not have the infrastructure to bring in a lot of industry, because everybody needs flowers.
I mean, I'm having a hard time believing this. Now, I know that our catfish industry, I think about Superior Catfish and our friends down here in the Delta as well. I know that they, well, we've watched a lot of big grocery markets. I'm not going to mention anybody, but you go in there and there is catfish from Taiwan or catfish from somewhere else in the world. And I'm going like, why on earth would we even think about purchasing anything that's not made right here? And not only just in America, but in Mississippi, you know, and so it makes no sense to me. So I'm having a hard time believing. I mean, even I could grow in the soil in Mississippi. I mean, it'll grow anything, you know. So I'm telling you right now, I mean, we do have the most fertile soil probably on planet Earth. You know, once we had our flood and things got all mixed together, I mean, there was the silver lining in the 1927 flood. Looking back, had to be our wonderful soil that grows so many amazing crops. All right, so as an advocate for this, and you know what you're dealing with, and you see those numbers, and you know economically the difference it can make, the jobs it can provide, what do you do when you get up in the morning to make that change?
We started a program about 5 years ago to provide education to people who wanted to grow flowers. We have over 16,000 people in the program now, and you're going to be seeing flower farms popping up everywhere. It's pretty exciting, Steve. It gives me chills to think about it. And the thing that is so special for me is we're putting a lot of women and young families into the farming business, and they're creating their own businesses so that they can sustain their lifestyle and have an income and be their own bosses. So it's a great, there's a lot of benefit to it. But yes, we, over the years, we've always imported these flowers. And as a result of COVID, the cost of shipping has skyrocketed. I don't know if you've ordered flowers recently, but they're extremely expensive. And a lot of times the flowers will sit on the docks when they come in from overseas. And when the florist receives those, they've pretty much have to revive those and recondition them to get them to look decent. So imagine when we put our locally grown, fresh cut flowers into those markets, the product lasts longer, the shipping is much less, the impact on our environment is a whole lot less. So there's a lot of good reasons for us to be growing cut flowers in Mississippi. And by the way, Steve, Mississippi is the only state that has a program like this.
Wow. Well, this program is like this because of you and your team that supports all that you are doing. And I know that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, thank you, Steve, for all you do. I said, listen, there ain't no you to it. There is a we. I mean, I've got a team. You know, when I was in Nashville, I think just real quick, and I want to get your take on this. When I was in Nashville, I didn't have my immediate support system that I grew up with in Mississippi. You know, when you grow up with folks, it's there's a different bond, right? And I was doing business with all my friends, and I got to become very, very, very good friends. And you're vulnerable as a songwriter, and you're in a writing room with somebody. There has to be some sort of love affair there, that there's no walls, and you become so close. You become brothers and sisters. And when you're writing songs and all that, and I get that, and I've become so close with so many of them. But when I came home, it were the people that I grew up with that go, let's take this to another level. And because of their support and their hospitality and their love of Mississippi and the Delta and the needs that we have down here, because of that, our foundation has flourished and done well and helped a lot of worthwhile charities, and that we get to continue to do it. So people go, oh, it's you. And I said, no, 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 no. I am a grain a small piece of grain with, we all add up and it's a nice, you know, something. We'll be right back. I'm Steve Azar. So if you're going to have a lot of catfish on your plate, you want it from Macon, Mississippi, produced right here, go to SuperiorCatfish.com. Great folks over there and wonderful, wonderful folks at Visit Mississippi. Love you guys so much. Thank you for spreading the love of all things who we are on our hallowed ground. We'll be right back. I'm Steve Azar. I'm just sitting on gold and waiting on joy. $20,000 available for first-time home buyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Home Buyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time home buyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first served. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC. Be sure and tune to a Mississippi Minute. I have Donna Yowell here today. She is all things horticulture in Mississippi, flower growers of Mississippi, Mississippi Urban Forest Council. For you, who are your go-to people?
Well, you're right. I just put the pebble in the lake, so to speak.
But you did a better job. I was trying to go with some sort of grain and rice, but I failed. So thank you.
That analogy may not be very good as well, but I understand where you're going with that.
We're co-writing right now.
You know, and Steve, what's interesting about the process for me as I'm getting, I hate to admit it, older. The farming is very physical, and one of the things I felt like that could be a great contribution is to teach other people how to do that. And so these farms that are popping up all over the state is because people are looking for a way to increase their income or add additional income or to create their own jobs. And we just kickstarted it. And then it's really up to that individual to make it work for their family. We have so many people that are doing it all over the state. And I know you're big on tourism. And when you think about a beautiful flower farm and all of the tourism opportunities, that especially the agriculture tourism opportunities, it just opens up a whole new industry. So it does take a team, a whole group of people. And our classes, we do, because of COVID, we started doing most of our classes over Zoom, and we have those twice a month, and they are open to the general public. We do have a membership program that you get special classes, but most of our classes are open to the public. And we also have two flower farm schools. One is a rural farm in Bolton, Mississippi, outside of Flora, where we teach workshops and we actually demonstrate the planting methods and what to plant, when to plant it, you know, the details related to that. And then we also have an urban farm, which is fairly new for the farm bill in Madison, Mississippi. So we teach at those locations as well as over Zoom so that more people can get involved. And one of the things that's been really interesting, Steve, we don't just have people from Mississippi. We have people from all over the country that have joined this initiative, and it's taking the same route as farm to table did with locally grown vegetables, but we're calling it farm to vase. So it's
love that.
It's very interesting. And you know, you think about the markets, a lot of people go, well, who do you sell your flowers to? Well, think about all the markets for flowers. It doesn't matter what size town you live in. People need flowers. There's weddings, funerals, Mother's Day.
Oh, it's never going to end.
Yeah. That's right. The markets are there. We just have to grow enough flowers to put our product into those markets.
Okay, so you're a farm to vase, as you say. I love that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you know, farm to table has become a very sustainable life for a lot of people. You know, a lot of people are doing it. And restaurants, you know, they're open to that now. And there's a lot of farm to table restaurants. So for you to so to me, it's a no brainer. I'm going to get flowers that have been hanging out on a dock for a day or two, and they're having to revitalize them, which I want you to tell me how they do that. What do they shellac them? What do they do? Like, you know, I don't know. They put a stick in them and make them stand up. But real quick, before you say that, so how, okay, there, it's a no-brainer to me if I'm a florist and I have a shop and I know somebody is growing them next door, why would I not go there every time?
You would. And that's what we're trying to do, is to create more flower farms for that purpose, as well as, there's so many different ways that you can sell flowers, but selling them to a florist or a wholesale florist is one of those ways. The florists are so used to ordering through their importers. So it's just a matter of taking that transition the same way food did, and providing that product. The key for us in Mississippi, though, is providing a consistent product year-round with a lot of diversity, because when you're dealing with a florist, they want to see a lot of color, a lot of different kind of plants, a lot of textures. You know, florists are pretty artistic, so they need the plant materials. So that's part of our program, is to give you diversity in plant material of what to grow. And that includes landscapes. We have actually put in landscapes that are what I call working landscapes that you can actually cut to use for arrangements.
All right, Donna, we're talking to Donna Yowell, first lady of all things horticultural in Mississippi. That's right. I'm seeing that right now. And that's what you are. After talking to you, I totally understand that. All right. When you talk green thumb, for me, you know, I'll grow my jalapenos and my herbs and I'll get the flowers going, and I got pots around our pool, and none of the flowers ever last. And I know maybe they're not annuals.
That's one. That's one chapter of the equation, but that's only one. There's perennials, shrubs, trees, balls, corms.
But things that are supposed to come back with me, they don't come back. Okay, they're supposed to live, and they're supposed to, you know, come back to life the next year. So my green thumb, my color of green, I've got a little green, but it's a very very faint fade of green. I don't even know what color green it is on the spectrum, but. So how do folks that are business minded and all that become good at that part of it? Because to me, it's an art form of farming anything, yes. Right? I mean, you've got to be very knowledgeable. You've got to be very dedicated. You've got to, I mean, right. And then obviously you have to deal with the amount of water you'd put versus, you know, what if it rains all the time? What if it never rains? The expenses go up with having to water. I mean, like, how do you deal with all that and teach that to new people that weren't generational farmers?
Right. Well, you know, it's very similar to growing vegetables. And yes, you do have to address all those issues. In our classes, we talk about every type of plant material, and even some of the ones that do not come back, such as the annuals, the perennials, and all of those. And we give you details, the top 10 cut flowers to grow in Mississippi, what to do about droughts, and how to market, how to condition, what to plant now, what's blooming now. You know, and that's why we have classes twice a month, so that people can stay on track with developing their farm. We do recommend that you start out with some of the easier things to grow in the beginning. And we also create calendars to help you understand when to plant, what to plant, and when, because that's very important. You plant at certain times of the year for certain flowers. So to keep that consistency, you do need to know those details. But to be honest with you, Steve, it's really not that difficult. I know it sounds difficult, but we try to simplify it, and we try to make it easy for people to wrap their heads around, and talk about the different methods that you plant, which is, it can be very important. And actually, Steve, it is one of those crops, and this is one of the reasons I really like it. You do not need a lot of land, and you do not need a lot of equipment. The average size flower farm in America is less than 5 acres. My flower farm in Flora is less than a half an acre, and it produces more flowers than I could ever sell, because flowers, it's a lot. So we, you really don't have to have a lot of investment to grow this crop, whereas a lot of crops, you're investing a lot of infrastructure and a lot of money to grow those crops. That is not the case with cut flowers.
Is it any bulbs you plant, or depends on the type of flower, or is it always seeds? What's the, or is it a variety?
There's all different ways to do it. One of my favorite ways is the least expensive way to grow cut flowers, and that is by seed, row cropping, just like you would be row cropping peas or butter beans. It's the same principle. And by seeds, it's the least investment that you can make to grow cut flowers. Of course, there are bulbs such as Asiatic lilies, Dutch iris, and those kind of things that I absolutely love. And so you want to layer your plant material. You want to start out with some of the easy things, and then you want to graduate to other types of plants.
I love it. Speaking of butter beans, I'm going to take a break real quick and put it on my plate with Superior Catfish, because I am a lima butter bean fan. I just want everybody to know that. Oh my gosh, put a lot of hot sauce in it. A little bit of butter, because you have to. And Superior Catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com, homegrown right here in Mississippi, like these flowers that my guest today are talking. She is spreading the floral love in Mississippi. Donna Yowell is my guest today, First Lady of Horticulture in Mississippi. Speaking of Mississippi, visit Mississippi.org. You got people coming in from all over the world to visit our Mississippi, celebrate our art form, celebrate our people, want to understand our nature, our river, you know, it's amazing, our oceans, everything that we have, our Gulf. And I can tell you right now that it would be a nice thing and a nice addition to see flowers everywhere you look. We'll be right back with Donna Yowell. Steve Azar. I sure ought to know what it finally feels like. I sure ought to know what it finally feels like. I sure ought to know what it finally feels like. You've been doing it, doing it, doing it. I'm doing it right. I'm still trying to find my way. Up to $20,000 available for first-time home buyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Home Buyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time home buyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Steve Azar rolling into a Mississippi Minute. I have Donna Yowell here today. She is all things horticulture in Mississippi, flower growers of Mississippi, Mississippi Urban Forest Council, a couple nonprofits that she does, and just spreads her knowledge, her wealth of knowledge on what is becoming big business in Mississippi. And if it hadn't become big business, it should, because of the 86% of all flowers that come into Mississippi or in our country or from overseas. And I'm going to ask how the heck in a minute they make a flower last longer than 30 minutes when they arrive at your house by the time they've gotten to you from wherever, Singapore or wherever the heck they come from. Don't forget my pals at Superior Catfish. If you want it on your plate, if you want to buy it at a restaurant, go to superiorcatfish.com. Homegrown right here in Mississippi, like the flowers we are about to grow. Well, we're growing them, but you know, I want to see them everywhere. And visit Mississippi.org. We're celebrating flowers today. That makes a lot of sense with the beauty of Mississippi when you come visit us. Okay, Donna.
Yes.
How the heck do flowers come? When do they pick them? They pick them so early, they're like a green banana?
Exactly. You harvest flowers in different stages. For example, on Dutch iris, you're going to harvest that when it's still in the bud stage, just showing barely a little color, so that when And actually, Steve, it doesn't sit on the dock a couple of days. It takes anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks for a lot of the imported flowers to arrive to the U.S. So they're in refrigerated trucks, airplanes, boats. So,
oh my gosh, the cost of all of that.
Oh yeah, and the environmental impact of carbon and the footprint that it leaves is tremendous. And then the other thing, and I won't get into this a lot, but in these countries where these cut flowers are grown, the children that live around these flower farms, because they do use so many chemicals, it's impacting their health. So we can grow cut flowers in Mississippi organically, and both of my farms are organic farms. There are a lot of different organic methods that you can use to grow flowers, to manage the weeds, to fertilize, and all of those things. And you know, that decreases the footprint as well. But those flowers are imported over refrigerated transportation. And then once they get to the florist, you've got to cut those and condition them, put them in warm water or whatever you can create to try to get them to continue to bloom or revive. I used to import from Bogota, Colombia, from a grower straight to my flower shop. And, you know, I was importing things that we were growing native here, goldenrod, Queen Anne's lace, all of these things that we ought to be growing. We just need to be doing lots of this. And that is probably the reason we have so many people in the program. But yes, it's and plus they don't last as long in the vase when they're imported and in that long of a transportation period.
I understand the need of exporting and importing, and the relationships you build with other countries is always very important, that we're not just here, that there's a big world out there. And that's how these, you know, bonds with countries come and you do business with each other. But how has the challenge been for you, or is there a challenge? Was this as simple as, you've been doing this for a long time, right? First of all, how long have you been doing the teaching? And is there a flower hotline if you're in trouble? Like, oh my goodness. And yes. How can people go to these classes? Can they do them via Zoom now? I mean, a lot of questions I'm asking, but the end result I think I'd like to ask you is, I understand the relationship part, but now that you have the opportunity of spreading this wealth of knowledge that you have and love of flowers, and you want to grow them here in Mississippi farm to vase, like you said, take me through the process of becoming, you know, hey, Donna, I heard you do this. I'm Steve Azar. I want to grow a flower farm. What's next?
Okay. We started the program about 5 years ago, and I pretty much started it on my own. I invited other people to help me teach classes. Then the Natural Resource Conservation Service got involved about the third year we were doing the program. And in the beginning, we were charging for classes just to cover our expenses. But then they realized that it had really, pardon the pun, bloomed. And the program was growing so significantly and putting very non-traditional audiences into the farm business, because if you can grow flowers, you can grow food. So it was putting groups of people that normally are not considered farmers into that industry. So they started paying for the program. So that's why we can teach the classes free to everyone. But the best way to learn about the classes is for us to get your email and send you our newsletter. We also post the classes and the Zoom link on our Facebook pages, Flower Growers of Mississippi #2, because the first one got hacked. but the newsletter is the most reliable way to learn about that. And I certainly don't get mine given my email and phone number out as well, because we are the hotline for emergencies.
You got hacked because it was another country realizing you're taking away their business. I like that. Hey, so
I'm not so sure about that, but maybe.
You never know. Hey, could start a conspiracy right now on the show, flower conspiracy. Can I ask you about like wildflowers? I love wildflowers. And, you know, you see highways in certain states and it just at the time of year, it's just beautiful to look at. Probably causes wrecks or something. But would you see Mississippi and just when you're driving down the highways, do you ever think about, oh, that would be a great spot, miles and miles of wildflowers? And how complicated is it getting it done?
Steve, I'm so glad you asked about that, because we do a pollinator program. As you know, flowers support beneficial insects, bees. Your own Morgan Freeman is a supporter of bees there in the Delta. So it's very important. In other countries are having to hand pollinate their food supply. But growing these flowers, and especially if they're native flowers like the wildflowers, we do wildflower plots all over the state. I have three of them on one of my farms that is just absolutely gorgeous. So it's important. It's very important. Yes, on the highways, I was called in about 3 years ago with one of the highway commissioners who wanted to do a test project on highway interchanges for wildflowers from Ellis Avenue to Vicksburg on all of the interchanges there, which would have been a fabulous project. There was one man that didn't like it, so it didn't happen, but it should happen. And I applaud the highway commissioner that liked the concept of it. It is very easy to do. And the thing that it really does, Steve, is it saves cities so much money in grass cutting. We can generate wildflower plots very easily. I did some of the original ones with Pat Fordyce way back in the, I don't know, was that the 90s maybe? Mm-hmm. So they're easy to do. A lot of times that we find when we go out into public areas and put wildflowers, we have to educate people about, this is not a field full of weeds. These are native plants that support pollinators. And so I proposed to the highway department that we do a linear trail of pollinator sites, just so that people would tie additional benefit, not just beautification, but food production to these linear spaces. So hopefully that will happen in the future. And I invite you and your family to come out and look at our wildflower.
Oh, I love it. Flora is a beautiful town, by the way. I played it many years ago before Flora has flourished. And I pardon the pun there, but it really has. It's really grown into such a beautiful place. And obviously the people have always been beautiful, but now you guys are rolling, man. It's rocking there.
Oh, yeah. We're going to turn it into a flower city.
Yeah, I love it. Well, you know, if Willie Simmons, my man, he's my man.
He's the one.
He always says yes. Yes, 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 Willie. And Sarita, shout out to our senator there. I love them so much. They love the arts, period.
Yes.
You know, I wish I could explain how much I really appreciate them and Willie. So if you're listening, Willie, you're my man. Anyway, so let's take a break. We'll be right back. We got a short segment left. I wish we had 20 segments left, because I feel like I'm just getting to learn just enough to go out there and even attempt it. I'm telling you, I got a pond and I want to turn it into a flower reserve. Anyway, I'm Steve Azar with Donna Yowell. She's the First Lady of Horticulture in Mississippi, Flower Growers of Mississippi, et cetera, et cetera. Speaking of et cetera, if you're going to have a lot of catfish on your plate, you want it from Macon, Mississippi, produced right here, go to superiorcatfish.com. Great folks over there and wonderful, wonderful folks at Visit Mississippi. Love you guys so much. Thank you for spreading the love of all things who we are on our hallowed ground. We'll be right back. I'm Steve Azar.
While a mockingbird sings out on its limb. Oh, and what a sweet soulful hymn. I said three Mississippi to this land called home. I bleed Mississippi till I'm dead and gone. I'll carry on, Mississippi, Mississippi.
And paid for by
mm-hmm.
Steve Azar rolling into the last segment of an In a Mississippi Minute. Thanks to my guest today, Donna Yowell, First Lady of anything to do with beauty and flowers in Mississippi. I really appreciate her taking the time to educate me and you guys, understanding the need to grow flower farms in Mississippi and how it can become a wonderful business for you if you just take the plunge. Speaking of anything that I am thinking about right after this interview is going to be Superior Catfish. I'm going to fry some up. Go to superiorcatfish.com, produced right here in Mississippi. Visit mississippi.org. I know those folks firsthand. Great people spreading the word of everything that turns a tourist on when they come here and they leave here and go, wow, we want to go back to Mississippi. All right, Donna.
Yes.
Okay, first of all, how can folks get involved? What do they need to do to start?
Contact us. Let us add you to our newsletter so that you can start tracking the classes, or look on our Facebook pages, Flower Growers Mississippi 2. We will put our Zoom links on that. And we start from, and we, the topics we cover in the classes start from the very, very beginning of site selection, soil prep, all the way to the very end, conditioning, delivering, designing, doing floral designs. So we take you through the whole gamut from A to Z on what you need to know to grow cut flowers.
Flower Growers
of Mississippi 2.
Is that T-O-O or T-W-O?
The number 2.
The number 2. Oh, the number 2. Okay. All right. That's the Facebook page. And what else? I'm sorry.
The Mississippi Urban Forest Council. You just look at my Facebook, Donna Yowell.
It's amazing.
And I don't mind giving my number out, 601-672-0755. You can text me your email and I can add you to our newsletter.
You want me to get a guitar and sing?
The
Donna song. All right. Okay. What about planting season? Is there a perfect planting season? Because I'm thinking about farmers who, you know, who have fields that they don't plant in and, mm-hmm. and you know, how disruptive to it is the soil and all those things. I mean, could they just like go, oh, I'm going to grow flowers here for a little bit while this land is sort of sitting? Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
Yes. We want to plant year round. And that's why we teach the classes twice a month. It's because you're going to be putting flowers in literally year round. My favorite time to plant is in November, which we've missed that window. But then we've got the soil warming up. So we'll be planting here very soon our summer annuals. And we want to plant those constantly. Succession planting is very important. So you've got constant cut flowers coming in.
You know, Donna, there's a beginning to anybody that has a passion like you do. There is an origin, a person, right? Or people in your life. An atmosphere. So for you looking back, you know, where did all of this love of what you're doing get started?
Oh, wow. As a kid, I used to walk around in the woods on my tree farm in Lincoln County, which I still have. My grandparents, both of my grandmothers grew flowers. So it started young. And I think in the farming industry, that's probably pretty common. People, and my son has turned out to be Taylor Yowell with the Garden Pharmacy, has turned out to be a vegetable and fruit farmer, which he does organically. He's also one of the very few young men that teaches permaculture in the state.
Of course he does.
And then my daughter married a farmer. So it's ingrained, but it's been fun. My forestry background, we've done all sorts of programs, the Mississippi Arboretum Trail and Relief and Rhythms and, just gardens all over the place. One of my favorite gardens is the Children's Memorial Garden, which was inspired by my granddaughter, that has given a lot of people comfort that have lost children. So, and hanging out with Eudora Welty, air layering her camellias.
Oh, I love it.
Just all sorts of stories, you know, and it's really about creating a great Mississippi. You mentioned Mississippi's nature. We are very blessed here in the state that we have such a beautiful state. We have 13 acres per person in Mississippi. So, you know, to accent that and use these opportunities to increase business and job training help cities increase their sales tax revenue. We do arboretums all over the state. We have 26 at this point, and we're actually looking for a sponsor to help us put it together in an arboretum trail system.
Oh, wow.
One more reason to visit that small town.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we've got our country music trail markers, we've got our blues trail markers, we've got our literary trail, freedom trail. Mm-hmm. So why not that? I mean, that is awesome. You know, if you think about it, everywhere you turn will be a different painting, and that painting evolves. It changes. I appreciate you taking the time. Donna Yowell is my guest today, folks. Please get in touch with her. Grow some flowers, start a farm. I just think this is awesome. My pals at Superior Catfish make this show possible. Go to superiorcatfish.com, homegrown in Mississippi, like we're hoping all our flowers will be. It'll be, instead of 86 imported, will be 86% that are born and bred and sold right here in Mississippi. We'll give the international folks 14%. What do you think, Donna?
That sounds like a good idea.
Let's road trip to Mississippi. Go to visit mississippi.org. I'm Steve Azar. Donna, you're
Thanks,
the best.
Steve.
Thank you.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them, where you can take your sweet time.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.